Welcome to the Innovator and Motivator podcast from the Chicago chapter of the Association for Women in Science, or AWIS. We are your hosts, Kendra Royston and Mary Catani.
Each quarter, we feature a scientist who has demonstrated the ability to innovate and or motivate in his or her chosen STEM career trajectory. For this feature, we invite the scientist into this conversation with their mentee to afford for rich conversations that matter.
Today we have Dr. Doris Espiritu and one of her mentees, Monet. Thank you all for joining us.
Oh, of course.
So, Monet, I'll give you the reins and let you take over.
Perfect. So my first question is, Dr. E, what has been the toughest part of your experience and your journey so far? And a follow-up question to that is, what has kept you going? I know I've read a lot, and I know your father was sort of your inspiration, but what keeps you going during the toughest parts?
I was supposed to answer it's the death of my father was the toughest, but then you said since I came to the U.S. So coming to the U.S. was the toughest one. Is I don't know anyone here, so I came here alone. It's so funny, I came here in July, I remember it completely, and I was actually wearing a very wintry clothes because I look at the forecast and it was kind of cold, but it was really summer. I don't know anyone. I was met by somebody I don't know, and then I live in a place where somebody get for me, and it was horrible place. So that was my very first experience of the U.S., knowing nobody, and I don't have family. I don't have anyone here. I left everyone in the Philippines to come to the U.S. So how did I go through it? I just pushed it through. I met people. I came on Saturday. I met new people on Monday, and I met my mentor that particular day, and that was it. He was giving me all directions, and I think without my mentor, I would never be where I am right now.
And what's been the most inspirational part of and what keeps you going?
Oh, there's a lot of things. Number one really that drives me is poverty. It was very, very difficult, and I have people, instead of inspiring me, telling me to just give up because I'm never going to make it. And for me, when somebody will tell me that you're not going to make it, I will make sure that I will make it. And I think that's a challenge that I put to myself. And I always tell my students or anyone else that, you know, you can do it. I don't think there's anything you can't do if you put your mind into it. And so just keep pushing, and that's my inspiration. And now it's different because I can use that kind of perseverance and that attitude to just keep moving. And just, I always tell people now, just keep swimming. And that's what I did. I have a goal in front of me, and that was my inspiration to just keep moving.
As a woman in STEM, and I know there's been a shift more towards having more women in STEM, but what's been the biggest struggle that you face being in that arena and growing through that arena in the science field? And was there any challenges that you faced because of that? And how did you overcome it?
Well, I think without my mentor, who is actually a male, not a woman, I would probably never gonna be able to reach where I am right now. With, if you're looking at it, being a woman and having kids and having to go through life and maintaining that balance, even without the support of the people around you, without the support of the men around you, without the support of your boss, it will be very hard to go through and be successful as a woman because you have to take off. You cannot change that. You have to think about your kids. And I have a child. I have not a child anymore. But I went through that, all that differences between being a man and a woman in STEM.
I know you do a lot of partnerships with, you know, the University of Illinois and Engineering Pathways and Princeton with research. What's been your favorite part of like that experience and partnering with universities?
Knowing more people and really making a difference in making the pathways of our students from the community college to the university. But really knowing more people and bridging that transitions from us to the university is like my favorite thing. The students from Wright College do not have to worry about having difficulty going to transfer. And also to give them experiences that they would never ever even have without the program. We're actually expanding the program now, so it's not just University of Illinois. I already just signed a contract with Illinois Institute of Technology. And then next week I will be working with, I have people from Northwestern. We're going to start the collaboration with Northwestern as well. So
nice.
U of I, Princeton, Northwestern, and actually I work with UIC as well, but we already have guaranteed admission, a transfer with them. So with the university around Chicago and around Illinois, plus outside the state. And those are my favorite things, to give students opportunity that they would never even have, especially coming from the community college.
And I know that you were working on a book the last time I saw you, and so I guess this is more of like a, just out of curiosity, what's the status on that, and what made you want to write a book and switch gears from teaching?
Oh, actually, I think I have so much success this year, Mune, and I always tell everyone, don't ask me about the book. I'm halfway through it. I actually have the publishers online and everything, but then when one day I decided to write the NSF grant, and I wasn't expecting to get it the very first time I tried it. But the moment I received it, now I have no choice but to go through the grant first. So I put the book on the side. The good news with that is the title of the book is The Chemistry of Success. And so I'm having so much success now that I can add to the book. So I was thinking, after I did my very, very first project with the NSF grant, then I will pursue it, and then making it enrich with the new experience that I have. So it's going to be 2019 by the end of it, or probably early next year. But I put it on hold because of the National Science Foundation grant.
I know, Dr. Espiritu, we did a write-up on you and featured you on our Scientists of the Month, but I would love to know a little bit more about you, Monet. What inspired you to pursue STEM and 3M now? I got a little bit of background from Dr. Espiritu saying that you went to Wright for your associate's degree and then moved on to U of I.
Yes. So I think what really sparked my interest in chemistry and the chemical sciences in general was my sophomore year. My chemistry professor was really awesome at having these elaborate demos to display the concepts that we were learning. I thought that really like excited me, because I know a lot of students sometimes don't make those connections, and they think that, you know, science is boring and it's dry. And I think that being able to relate to it to something that you can see and something that's colorful and really, really sparked my interest. And I think that really solidified it for me. And I think I ultimately decided to do chemical engineering because I was so attracted to the versatility of the field. I think that it allows you to be adaptable and versatile, and to play in any industry that you want, and ultimately make you a problem solver, not just specific to one area. And so I think that's been my favorite part, is that I'm allowed the flexibility to problem solve in whatever arena that I'm in. And I think that 3M and being there has allowed me to really reinforce that love for versatility and playing in a lot of different areas and products and things like that. So I definitely would like to thank my high school chemistry teacher, Mr. Kopacz. I think he was ultimately why I started to love STEM and just chemistry in general.
I think it's funny you brought up your high school chemistry teacher, because I had two high school teachers who really kind of urged me to pursue STEM in undergrad. My high school biology teacher, Mr. Ames, he was a character. And my high school AP chemistry teacher, Miss Kiever. Chemistry did not come easy for me, so I took the tough way out and pursued biology instead.
Yeah, that's the thing. Even at my high school, chemistry was such a hard concept to tackle for a lot of people. And, you know, even my AP chemistry teacher was awesome, Mr. Reed. He wasn't as good as demos as Mr. Kopak, but I think that he did a good job at, you know, breaking things down and explaining things and just really slowing down and allowing people to really make those connections. And I think that was also reinforced that, right? You know, when I took organic chemistry, a lot of people struggle with that, but, you know, I think they did a really good job at making those connections and really utilizing the lab time to really hone in the concepts at Wright. So I really appreciated that. And I think that just kind of kept being reinforced, you know, especially being at community college, you really don't know for sure if you really like the major because you're not really taking like the core major specific classes until you get to the university. So I think that they did a good job at bridging that gap.
That's awesome. I have one last question for both you, Monet, and Dr. Espiritu. I think it's very important for us as women in STEM to pay it forward to the next generation. And so if there's any bit of advice that you could give for a younger individual who's coming after you, who might be a bit intimidated by the science field, what would that be?
Go ahead, Monet.
I think the biggest thing is not being afraid to reach out and ask for help. I think that, you know, if there's somebody after me that may not know for sure if STEM's right for them, is just to ask for help and seek out those mentors and just really integrate yourself into it to see if that's right for you. And that's not even just for STEM. But also, you know, I think that, you know, me being a STEM, I think a lot of scientists, engineers sometimes might think that they know the answer, and when they don't, they're afraid to say that they don't and ask for help. I think that that's the most important part for someone that wants to pursue STEM coming after me, and just being open to learn and grow. And I think that it's important to, for me as a woman and just a woman of color too, just to pull from multiple experiences and being open-minded and diverse, I think is important. And echoing what Dr. E said is knowing when to say no. I think that when she said that, I definitely internalized that, because I'm still having trouble with saying no. You know, it's just sometimes you got to kind of do what's best for you, and knowing when to ask for help and knowing when to say no, I think are the most important parts.
Yeah, I would echo to that, Monet. Look for mentor, and I'm not even saying mentor, but look for mentors. Not only one person can satisfy sometimes the questions that you have, and there's nothing wrong for looking for more people to be able to assist you into your journey, and then just keep on learning until you really find that passion. Sometimes chemistry might not be for you. Sometimes, and don't have a very close-minded. Sometimes we put a lot of stereotypes, like chemistry is hard, right? But why not try to do things that actually make it easier, or look for somebody who can, like what you did, Monet. So just keep on learning until you find that passion. And once you find that passion, I don't think you would really give up on something. It's just because you're going to excite you. I know it sounds like a cliche, but I always say this to my students and it sounds weird. But if you really love what you do in STEM or whatever you do, you're never going to work for the rest of your life. And I think that's the best thing that happens to me. I think I live in the college because that's what I really like to do. And helping the next generation of women, and something that really excites me. I think something that would be, I will call my legacy. And especially at the community college, I find a place where I can grow this and find the kind of passion, and you will be very excited whatever things you're going to do. Learn to say no. I think that's one thing that I did not do too well, and I'm still not doing it too well, but I'm still learning to do it. I'm saying that because if you're good in what you do, people will ask you to do more and more and more, and it will take a lot of your time. So choose your battle, choose what's the best thing to do, and don't worry about saying no. I think it is a really good thing to be able to choose what you can do and do it best rather than spreading yourself so thin.
That's a perfect example of how our legacy is through people. And I think we saw that just in the snippet here. So many of our pearls of wisdom, of lessons learned along the way, don't get published or written in the permanent record. They live on through people. And I think we saw a beautiful example of that here today. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you for having us.
Please join us next quarter for another enriching conversation that matters.